Let me just go ahead and frame the message for this morning. We're in a series called, I'm just calling it Sent, and comes from this passage in John chapter 20. So let's just read this verse, John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You may or may not know that this morning we celebrate Pentecost. So in the liturgical church all around the world, they're celebrating Pentecost. That is 50 days after the ascension. And we celebrate that moment in Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit descended and really blew up the place, thus creating the church. The church that we are a part of started 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit came. I was just thinking... He said in his first sidetrack, I was just thinking, well, we were praying before the service. I bet the disciples had plans for that day. I just was thinking that, you know, like the disciples didn't know it was Pentecost. They didn't know what was going to happen. I can just imagine Peter, you know, he's writing down in his planner, you know, eat at mom's house. She's alive because Jesus kept, you know, mother-in-law, that is. So many jokes in so little time. No, I'm serious. They had plans, didn't they? They must have had plans. And they walk in and people from all over the known world at that time are gathered in Jerusalem to worship. And this wild thing happens. The Holy Spirit comes, descends on the disciples with tongues of fire. And they begin to the scripture says, declare the works and the glory of God in languages that they didn't know. And so there was this miracle of verbal miracle and aural miracle. The people from all over the world heard the testimony of God in their own language. The Holy Spirit basically said, listen, I got to get something started here and I don't have time to wait for you to figure it out. So bam. And this was the Holy Spirit that promised by Jesus. When Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, this is the disciples saying, we get this power by which we actually walk out into the world with the good news of Jesus. Without the power of God, the message that we give is a human message. And we bring only human encouragement and human power. And I'm not saying those things are bad. They're not. But supernaturally, we as the people of God get to declare the power of God, the love of God. And that love speaks the language of every person that you know. And that means you do not have to figure out how to communicate the gospel to the people you know. I'm all for praying. I'm all for strategy. I'm all for thinking and intentionality. That's all good. But their salvation is not upon you, but upon the Spirit of God declaring the Word of God through you. So this Pentecost, this is not a Pentecost message, by the way. I'm just veering off. This Pentecost, I want you to remember that you've been given a power, the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead, that raised Jesus into heaven with the Father, is released within you to bear the presence of God into the world. And that language of love speaks to every person, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. There is no person in your life who cannot hear that language of love right through you. That's good news. Okay, now I'll start preaching. I'm going to finish this series within a series from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And let me just read through the verse as we've been going through it and finish. This is 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we're the smell of death, to the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity like men and women sent from God. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the day to remember when the Holy Spirit was released upon the earth, not just on the people of God, but in the people of God. Not just given to the people of God, but expressed through the people of God. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that as you're present here, that you would illuminate this scripture for us this morning. You would embed it in our spirits. You would give us understanding and revelation. And Lord, I ask for the transformation that only you can bring in our lives, that we would not just understand, but live out the reality that we are the aroma of Christ to God in the world, that people may be saved in knowing him. So come and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So the scripture here, if we can surge ahead. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. So this is this aroma, this scent with the C theme has been going for the last couple of weeks. We're the aroma of Christ. God through us, remember, in Christ, is spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, God spreads the fragrance, the smell, the scent, the intoxicating, luring, what did Chris say? The coaxing scent. Even better than coaxing the smoker out of the husband's garage. Is coaxing the passion for the knowledge of God out of a person. And that's what the Spirit of God does through us as God leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. We are to God the aroma of Christ. And so I'll start here, and you're getting to know me now. I just have this passion for prepositions. Because prepositions they carry meaning. They're little tiny words with big impact. What a shame if we were to skip over, we are an aroma to God. I mean, everything I've said probably has made you think we are an aroma to people. Our life has a horizontal impact. And I want you to hear that. We'll get there. Our life has a horizontal impact. But first and foremost, your life has a vertical impact. First and foremost, you are an aroma to God. You are the aroma of Christ to God. What does it mean? It means you smell like Jesus in the Father's presence. How many of you are thinking out there right now, don't put up your hands, it'll be so embarrassing. But you know what? My life stinks right now. My life before God stinks. My testimony to the world stinks. My conscience is telling me stink. I look inside, I see rot. I mean, some of you are saying that to yourselves right now. And you know what? Probably a lot of that is true. If you feel that, it's a gift. It's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit to point out where you're wrong, that you might be made right by Jesus. It is not the condemnation of God, because God doesn't see you that way. Here's the reality, the Pentecostal reality of today. You, if Jesus lives in you, you've come to a place where you've said, Jesus, come. Live in me, pay for my sins with your death, bring me to life with your resurrection. I'm yours. At that point, the internal scent of your life is the aroma of Christ to God. Regardless of your condition, regardless of what you act like and think like, regardless, you are the aroma of Christ to God. And the good news about that is, I mean, if you've ever had a child who, how do we say this nicely, soiled themselves, and they come and they should know better by now, right? You know what I'm saying? And they walk up to you and they've got this look, and they don't have to say anything because you can smell them. And what are they saying? I mean, the shame's all over them. I did it. And I'm carrying it. Let's not go too far with this. And it's all around me. I'm soiled. And what does the parent do? The loving parent. Does the parent say, ooh, get away from me? Sometimes. No, the loving parent, the godly parent, the heavenly Father says, come. There is never any way you can soil yourself that would make your scent be repugnant to me. And so we walk into the presence of Jesus, soiled, every one of us. And Jesus says, man, you smell good. The Father says, you smell just like my Son. That is us, the aroma of Christ to God. That is grace, friends, right? You don't make yourself smell good. If that toddler walks in all soiled and sprays mom's, what? Give me a scent out there. What's popular these days? Febreze. Well, thank you, John. I was thinking of a perfume, but let's go with Febreze. When the toddler comes up surrounded in Febreze, guess what? You're going to smell the soiled scent. We cannot make ourselves smell good to God. Isaiah says it this way, our good works are filthy rags. Done. And yet you come in Christ, and God says, I love you. Come near. I'll hug you. I'll be with you, and I'll cleanse you. That's good news. I could stop there, but I won't. We're the aroma of Christ to God. We're a pleasing sacrifice. Our fragrance to God is unseen in the world, but it's a visible reality to the Father. That's why the Lord loves repentance so much. God doesn't like our repentance because it's like, man, finally you got your due. No, He loves our repentance because it brings us back to Him, where He can enfold us in His love, and the sacrifice is pleasing. It's unseen to the world, but it's powerful to God. Read through Song of Solomon sometime when you're feeling particularly virile. Man, that is the Lord Jesus speaking to the church. And it's full of sensual imagery that says, I want you near, I want you close. Even when we're dark, even when we're dirty, before the Lord we're lovely. Why? Because of Jesus. We just can't make too much of Him. So our lives have a vertical impact. We are the aroma of Christ to God, and we're the aroma of Christ to God, second preposition, among people. Among people. So we walk out there in the world, you, however you feel, whatever your condition, in Christ, you walk out into the world, and God is smelling your fragrant scent everywhere you go, and He's just thrilled with it. And just for the pure fun of it, and because God so loved the world, He lets the scent of Christ fill not just the nostrils of heaven, but go out to the people of earth. And everywhere you go, the fragrance of God is being spread out through you. Isn't that an awesome thought? You smell like Jesus to God, and where you go in the world, you smell like Christ to the world. Which means, I mean, there is something incumbent upon us. If we're a people that are sent, we've got to go. If we're called to a place, we better be there, right? And so what I love, you know, pastors through the years have said, you know, 90% of walking in God is just showing up. Just showing up. You want to minister for Jesus in your workplace tomorrow? Go there. Just be there. Be in Christ. We'll get to some practical things at the end. But be there. Show up. Don't run away. You want to be a witness for Jesus to your neighbor? You don't have to prepare a speech or buy any tracts. Just be present. Cook out. Look across your fence. Say hi. I can see 17 homes from my back deck, okay? We're close-knit as neighbors, you know? We get to know them whether we want to or not. Be there. Be present. We're the aroma of Christ to God among people. We're sent, and that means we respond. Now, we're the aroma of Christ to God, among people. Those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death, and to the other, the fragrance of life. I love these types of verses because I love to divide things. I was one of those little kids that liked to categorize, right? Anybody else get a little bit of a kick out of that? You can admit it, all right? We have a group for you, but you can say it. You know, you just like to put things in piles. Don't you love it when they're all orderly? Right? I like that. Well, this just means there are two categories of people in the world amongst whom we are sent by God. Those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Those who are either in Christ or in the process of receiving the forgiveness of Jesus. Some of you right here this morning are in the process of receiving Jesus. You're not yet, but you're being saved. Probably you have a sense of it. Like, man, I know I'm coming into something, and it's scary. It should be scary. God's actually asking you for your life. The great deal of it is he wants to give his life back to you, and his is perfect. That's good news. We are the aroma of Christ to God among people, among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So there are two groups of people in the world. Those being saved, and guess what? Reality, those perishing. Those who don't see Jesus. Those who don't know him. Those who aren't drawn to him right now. And they either love your scent of Jesus or they hate it. So you are the aroma of Christ. You smell like Jesus to God. He loves it all the time. Out there in the world, there are those being saved. And you smell really good. Like, wow. You're like Farron with the smoker over there, you know. Man, I really want to be in on that burger, okay? But to others, you are the scent of death. You smell like rotted flesh. Don't you feel encouraged? That's the reality. Did you ever wonder why, as such a loving person with the Holy Spirit of God in you and all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those are oozing out of you where you go in the world, and some people don't like you? Did you ever wonder how that could be? One possibility is you're not as perfect as you think you are. The other possibility is you smell like Jesus. And if we smell like Jesus, then we walk like Jesus. And let me just tell you, not everyone was particularly thrilled with the coming of the Christ. Not everyone was real excited about the presence of God made manifest in man, right? If you're wondering if that's right, I'll just remind you of the cross. He smelled so bad to the self-righteous and to the God-haters that they killed him. So why do we wonder when we walk into the world and some people say, "Ooh, get away from me"? We smell like Jesus to those who are perishing. And you know what? Sometimes our imperfect, grace-filled life is a condemnation of lives that on their own are irredeemable. I should probably say that again. Sometimes our imperfect but grace-filled lives are the condemnation. They feel the sentence of death in lives that are irredeemable in and of themselves. If someone out there is trying to save themselves by their good works or their brilliant mind or their good looks or whatever they can do, and you come along and say, you know what, you can't make it to God no matter how good you are. You're imperfect and you need Jesus. Not everybody likes that. Some people want to say, but I can do it on my own. How many times have you heard? Religion is a crutch. People who follow Jesus are weaklings, and on and on and on. No, people who follow Jesus are the wisest people on earth because they've seen past the tragedy of trying to make it to God on our own. And recognized their great need and said, Jesus, do it for me because I can't do it. This is the aroma of the fragrance of the knowledge of God. We smell like redemption to those being saved, and they want more, and they want to get closer, and they find excuses to hang around us. And we smell like condemnation to those who are perishing. Even in those who feel the condemnation, it's not God condemning them. I believe that God's heart towards all is that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. All who are trying to do it on your own, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's what Jesus says, Matthew 11. Learn from me, because I'm humble and lowly of heart. I'll help you realize you can't do it on your own. And then Jesus says these great words, and I will give you rest for your souls. And so to some, we are the fragrance of rest for your souls, now and eternity. And to others, we are the fragrance of rotted flesh. The ill-conceived notion that we can actually do it on our own. And boy, we can't. To those who are perishing, we stink like death, a revolting odor. And to those who are being saved, we smell like a redeeming fragrance. You don't have to determine what you smell like. You can just be who you are. You'll find those who are being saved, and you'll see those who are perishing. By the way, don't make up your mind which is which. It's not yours to say. I don't think there's any ever a point for us to be so proud as believers that we say they are beyond. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He was killing Christians. We might have been tempted to say, you know, Paul, he's outside of the realm of salvation. And then he gave us the New Testament. Oh, he gave us the very words we're reading today. First Corinthians 1:18, Paul writing this also, for the message of the cross is foolishness. You see the similarity here, the wording, just two chapters difference. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You go out into the world and you say you need Jesus who died on a cross 2,000 years ago and rose again from the dead. Doesn't that make you feel happy? And to those who are being saved, they say, yes, that's the best news I've ever heard. I need someone to save me. And to those who are perishing, they say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it is. It's the dumbest thing, isn't it? It's foolishness. But to those who are being saved, and we've all been there, or we're on our way this morning, it's the power of God. I love it that we sang that song this morning, and Michelle had no idea where I was headed this morning. Christ is the power of God to save. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and it's the power of God to save. My life is not the power of God to save. My brilliant sermon is not the power of God to save. Your perfect holiness is not the power of God to save. Your Christian t-shirt is not the power of God to save. Jesus, crucified, buried, risen again, is the power to save. Foolishness to people who don't know. Power to those who are longing for it. And if you just pray this prayer, Lord, show me the people who need power, because I'll preach to them the foolishness of the gospel. God will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Don't be surprised if it sounds like foolishness when it comes to you, when it comes through your mouth. It'll look like foolishness until people are convicted by the Holy Spirit and walk into a saving relationship with Jesus. And then everything changes. And they'll realize, wow, that's power. That's power. By the way, there is enough offense in the cross. There's enough offense in the gospel. Don't feel like you need to add any to it. And I say this in a humble spirit. That's my intention. We are free people in Christ. As free people filled with the Holy Spirit of God, strange things are going to happen through us. I speak in tongues. That's a little bit different. Happened on Pentecost. I pray to God on my own in a language I don't understand. And according to the Bible, I'm edifying myself when that's happening. I can't explain that. It's a little bit bizarre. I don't go out in the middle of the circle downtown and do it out loud because the gospel has enough offense and I don't know what I'm talking about. So we are free to be who we are in Christ and to express ourselves, but don't feel like you need to go out into the world and be a weirdo for Jesus. The gospel has enough offense. Preach the cross, that's offensive enough. Preach you need Jesus, that's offensive enough. Preach you can't do it on your own. That's offensive enough. We don't need to add any offense. We don't need to add offense to the gospel by telling people they're going to hell. We don't need to add offense to the gospel by living lives of judgment. We are under judgment ourselves, but for Jesus. So this is just my little call to the kingdom here, to the world. Go out as a loving, accepting, cross-proclaiming people, not as the judgment to the nations. It's not our place. God will do that in His own time. We're the fragrance of life. So let's speak words of life. One theologian calls this the horrifying truth. There's a horizontal impact that we have on the world. We're the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are perishing and among those who are being saved. To the one, the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. There's this horrifying truth that people encounter Christ in the one who proclaims Christ. They encounter Christ in you. And eternal destinies are determined by that encounter. We carry eternity in our hearts, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We don't save people, but we carry the power of the gospel. Let's just be conscious of how we carry it. Let's be aware of how we carry it. No matter what we do, we smell good to God. Let's not have negative impact on our own fragrance. There's no reason to do it. We walk as the fragrance of God into the world. And so the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul asks the obvious question. I mean, if he says, you're walking into the world as a dividing line of eternity for people, death to death or life to life, does that feel a little ominous to you? Does it feel like a big responsibility? It's no big deal. You just carry eternity. It's just the lives of men and women in the balance. And so Paul asks the obvious question, who is equal to such a task? One translator says, who can bear such a word? Who can bear the burden of carrying the eternal gospel? I mean, in and of ourselves, the answer, the implied answer is, no one is equal to the task. What a relief. We are not equal to the task. In and of ourselves, we can't do it. So he says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Think about this. People who would peddle the word of God for profit might say it like this. I've got the good news of the gospel. I'd like to give it to you graciously. I'm carrying it oh so well. My life has been changed since. Do you hear the pride? That's people peddling the gospel for profit. They're saying, here's Jesus, but look at me. Here's Jesus, but look at me. When the goal of our faith and our walking into the world as the fragrance of God is really to say, here I am, look at Jesus. Yeah, I know, here I am, but look at Jesus. Yeah, I know, sometimes this looks good and sometimes this looks bad, but look at Jesus. So we don't peddle the word of God. In other words, we don't ask people to give us something back for something that we got for free. Grace is grace is grace. It's free. It means we don't earn it. It means we don't profit from it. It means we don't get to say, look at what God's done in me so I can get a claim. It's look at where I was and look at where I've come from. And yes, now look at where I am because of Him. Who is equal to such a task? Paul answers his own question, 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He's made us competent as ministers, that just means servant, of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We're incompetent. You want the French? Les incompetents. That's us. It sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Same meaning. We can't do it on our own. But Jesus makes us competent. And so Paul goes on and he says, this is what makes us competent. Jesus himself. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. On the contrary, not peddling, not look at me, but look at Jesus. On the contrary, in Christ and all that goes with that, in Christ alone, everything we have, our salvation, our redemption, our justification, our sanctification, our holiness, our joy, it's in Christ, all of it. So in Christ, we speak before God. We walk out into the world, the Latin phrase is, just for fun, coram Deo, before the face of God. We walk out in the world among people, and we walk before the face of God. Don't let that scare you. Let that motivate you. A loving Father is watching everything you do. And he can't wait to affirm and to instruct and to guide and to heal. So in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity. That means truth. And I'll just throw this zinger out and let you deal with this. Do you love purity? Do you walk in the world with a love for purity? Sincerity means purity. It means holiness. We can't make it on our own, but we get to live out the purity of Jesus. If not, we get to repent and claim that purity all over again. Just so you know, repentance is a lifestyle, not a one-time action. I repented this morning. When I sit down in 5 minutes, I'll repent again. It's a lifestyle. Of God, I know I'm imperfect, but thank you for your holiness. I know I may not have said that perfectly, but thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Christ, we speak before God with sincerity. That's purity. Like men, and I'll say and women because it's implied, like men and women sent from God. You get to go out into the world with this reality. I'm on a mission from God. I'm on a mission from God. We're sent ones. Empowered by the Spirit in Christ, empowered by the Spirit before God in his view, empowered by the Holy Spirit with truth, and empowered by the Holy Spirit sent into the world wherever you go. We carry the fragrance of Jesus. And more people are smelling it and coming to a saving knowledge of the gospel. Let's pray. Communion servers, could you come forward? We'll prepare for communion. Father, I pray first this morning for those who are being saved. They're not there yet, and they know it. And the last little remnant of their self is being tugged away right now. And they're just about ready to say, Jesus, yes, I can't do it on my own, and I need you. And I ask, Lord, that you would give them now, this moment, the gift of faith to ask you to come and be their Savior, and be their Lord, cleanse them from their sin, and release the power of the Holy Spirit and His righteousness into them. Lord, for those of us who are in that condition of in Christ, we ask God for eyes to see the people you've sent us to, heart to reach out, and the grace to walk everywhere we go and say, yes, I'm here, but look at Jesus. We praise you for him, and in his name we pray. Amen.